It's your daily dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, May 2nd, and we have a little bit of an all over the place show for you, but those are the best shows. Those are the best daily doses ever. We're going to talk about, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. We're going to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We're going to talk about some random pop culture things. We're definitely going to mention, I'm going to hint at what's going on with Melissa's old nose and the Real Housewives of New Jersey drama. Everything plus more. I watched 4 episodes of Baby Reindeer last night, so now I'm looking left and right because I'm convinced that I have a stalker. We're going to be talking about all of those things and more today on Daily Dose of Donna. So I had a dream last night. Okay. I had a dream. And in the middle of the night, I woke up and I was like, my dream was that I was doing my show with you guys. And that, you know, the, I feel the magic just started the theme song. And it was a different song. It was a completely different song, same video, but the song was different. And I didn't know the song. And I'm like, someone has come in and changed my theme song. So just so you guys know, I'm dreaming about you at night. Excuse my non-makeup face, which is why I'm wearing my glasses. I literally just have a little bit of blush on. The reason why is because I've had the most crazy morning. I mean, I'm sure other people have had crazier, but I was on The Amazing Race this morning. Not really, but Lance and I were on The Amazing Race trying to get my kid's passport. What'd I tell you? I understand that you're trying to protect my son from traveling outside of the country with both parents not being like, you know, aware and present. When I tell you what we had to go through to get, it's like the government wants us to struggle with all of these things. It is unreal. You need a money order, not cash. You need the front and the back of your license on a certain copy. And this, you need to write with black ink and not blue ink. You need this, you need that. You need to make sure you get the pictures, but the pictures are too small, too big. He's not wearing the right color. He's wearing too dark. It's the background. It's the, he's not smiling too much. I am telling you. So I was late, but I am here and let's start the cheer. And no, I am not queer, but I have no fear. What? If you know me, you know the way Daily Dose of Donna works. Oh my goodness. We have a Patreon episode coming out later today that is going to be so good. I'm going to go really into detail on the Melissa's old nose drama. So just so you guys, I've been kind of covering this from when it first popped off last week, and I was so lost because I really try as hard as I can, and I know a lot of you would be shocked by this, love beans. I know you'd be shocked that I don't like to get into some of this messy drama. I know that you think I do. I actually do when it comes to Jeff Lewis and Heather McDonald stuff. I definitely got involved, okay? But since then, I've decided it's so much nicer not to be in the middle of crazy drama, not to be in the middle of, like, you know, all the wild threads and whatever. But this is really interesting. So I didn't want to, I've been touching on it, but I haven't really fully reported on it with all the details until I got the story. And as of right now, we have two sides of the camp. Again, you know, on Real Housewives of New Jersey, there's two sides. We've got the Teresa side and we've got the Melissa side. And it's very clearly a line in the sand. They don't want to shoot with each other. It's like, it's really one side versus another. It's super messy. But what's crazy about this story is that from what we're seeing, there's receipts, proof, timeline, screenshots that at least Jennifer Aiden and Teresa have been very, very in connection, in cahoots with some online personalities, Instagrammers, TikTok, Twitter accounts, et cetera, podcasters, a lot that you guys follow, and have been giving them information, feeding them information so that they post these things because they have a lot of influence, because they're trying to produce the next season storyline. And that's wild to me because it really it really like removes the idea that we're watching a TV show. It's weaponizing people online that have influence and using them to be almost a mouthpiece for you. I don't love it. I don't love it at all. So I didn't really want to get super into it, but I did get a lot of DMs because I see Melissa's old nose, this Gabriella on Twitter, and she's got a lot of receipts. So I'm inclined to believe that. But then I got a lot of DMs from people that have been posting highly the opposite, that Melissa's old nose, this Gabriella, is lying. So I'm doing the dirty work. I'm getting in, okay? Like a dog in the dirt. I'm getting in. And I listened to Chrissy Balls. I can't with that. I listened to her podcast. I posted it about it on my Instagram stories. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but Melissa's old nose is on the podcast. Other than the sound issues, I listened to it all this morning while I was at the gym. Then I went through all the DMs of everything that I got as people that disagree with Melissa's old nose and are saying that she's lying. And I will break it down in detail on Patreon later today. I am also on Patreon going to talk about all the drama around The Rock, because The Rock is getting some bad, bad press. We're going to talk about my little mini deep dive on Rachel Ray, because she shows up in Bethany Ever After season 2, episode 2, which I'm recapping this week on Patreon. It's up as of yesterday. And did you guys know that like Rachel Ray has gone off the deep end? I'm convinced there's like a crazy issue there. I'm going to talk a little bit about my feelings about Jeff Lewis, that it's just really interesting. I've noticed what I've been feeling about that. And I'm going to talk about where I stand when it comes to what is happening on college campuses right now, as someone who has always talked very openly about the fact that I'm Jewish and I have family in Israel and I'm, you know, I come from Israelis. So I will get into that. It's not going to get like crazy or dramatic, but that all will be later on Patreon. So subscribe to Patreon to check it out. It's only $5 a month at that low tier. And then I'm going to schedule our next happy hour for the upper next week. So it'll be really fun. All right. That being said, let's get into some stories, you guys. Oh, the podcast that I was talking about, early Chrissy Balls podcast, it's called Pop Culture with Balls. That's a good name. It's a good name. And it's, you know, her talking, this Chrissy who talks about it, she's really running the risk because these Teresa fans are no joke. I think there's like, okay, now I figured it out. These are the most intense fans in the pop culture arena. Are you ready? Chumps, Jeff Lewis fans. Juicy Scoopers, Heather McDonald fans, Teresa fans from Real Housewives of New Jersey, and Kate Middleton fans. Those four are the most intense and aggressive fans that I have seen since I started this podcast a year and a half ago. You would think they'd be more, you know, into like the Ariana and Tom Sandoval. No. People will allow you to say whatever. It's those fans that are the most intense and aggressive about if you say anything like against those people. It's pretty crazy. Okay. Are you guys ready to get into some stories? These stories are all over the place, but they're fun. Let's start with a Dan Schneider story. So you know that I started covering Quiet on Set and Dan Schneider and child actors a lot because of what I used to do as a casting director for kids. Well, Dan Schneider actually has the freaking cojones, the balls, the psychosis enough to now go after the producers of Quiet on Set. He's suing the Quiet on Set producers for defamation, saying that the Shame Nickelodeon producer claimed show was a hit job, which falsely portrayed him as a child predator. Now, I'm going to be honest, okay? If you did watch Quiet on Set, it alluded to the fact that Dan Schneider was involved in like child predatory behavior. And I'm talking more like sexually. I I don't know if there's actual proof of that. Like, we have proof of that disgusting Brian Peck guy with, you know, the Drake, with Drake Bell. And we have stories of like that PA and different, you know, men that were on set, when you actually have like real stories of them texting and acting on some really, really horrible things. But Dan, we don't actually have proof of any of that. We saw that how horrible he treated his female writers. We have how horrible he treated some of the staff that, I mean, some of the crew and some of the kids, like, for example, how he essentially ostracized anyone that wasn't like a young white kid. He allowed for a lot of shitty behavior. And I always believe that it does start at the top. And he was at the top of the food chain in that. So I understand how technically he probably does have a way to go back and say, hey, you have no proof of me acting on anything. So for you to put me in this thing and make the whole promos and everything was really about Dan Schneider, right? Like, the show Quiet on Set exposed these other people, but the majority of the show was kind of focused on Dan Schneider's activities. But I will say, you know, he has been sued over accusations of gender discrimination, hostile work environment, and harassment. However, he is now, and I'm sure he does have a case, because there was implications in this, but it says the docuseries was a hit job against him. The defendants did the show for clickbait, ratings, and views, or money. I'm interested who's taking this case on. I can't even imagine that someone, you know, wants to represent him. But again, money is money. Schneider's attorneys added that Dan Schneider had no knowledge of their abuse. All these other kids that were abused, was not complicit in the abuse, condemned the abuse once it was discovered, and critically, was not a child sexual abuser himself. I mean, I like to think that if some really, really horrible stuff happened in my home, like, think about this. Aren't there cases where parents are charged if kids in their home are engaging in bad behavior, if kids in their home are maybe drinking underage or whatever? Like, the parents may not be, you know, giving them the alcohol, but it's under your watch. And so there is a little bit of that. I don't know. There is a little bit of that. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens. I just can't believe that this guy has the balls to do this. Just like, shut up and go away. You have so much money. Dan Schneider has so much money. Just go away. Like, why are we even like still fighting for this? Who's going to ever be able to look at Dan Schneider the same, right? I don't get it. I don't get it. All right, next story that, let's talk about this. I just saw this and I got so excited. Are any of you guys into reading, like reading novels, fiction? I know we talk a lot about like celebrity memoirs, but I'm a huge reader and kind of fell off since this podcast started because I have to spend so much time watching TV. However, I love audiobooks and I love to read. And for me, I'm all about Colleen Hoover. So Colleen Hoover has a bunch of different books that are amazing. I mean, they're really great. One of them is called It Ends With Us, and Blake Lively starring in the movie adaptation that's going to be coming out soon. But she just got another movie adaptation with her novel Verity at Amazon MGM. And let me tell you, if you guys like Gone Girl, if you guys like any of that kind of a book or a psychological thriller, romance, et cetera, you have to listen to Verity or read Verity. I listen to it. It's so freaking good. I don't know one person that read or heard of Verity or listened to Verity that didn't obsess over it. It's one of those books that will stick with you forever. Did you notice that I just said that? Instead of forever, I said forever. So go and like listen to Verity. Since you guys watch podcasts and listen to podcasts, I would imagine you guys like audiobooks too. But make sure to go in and read Verity. Wait, should we do like a little bit of a book club on our Facebook group? because that could be fun. I would love to hear what you guys are reading. I'm going to start a thread over there, or maybe we start a chat about books. Because like one of you, okay, says Lisa Jewell is better. Right now, I mean, you know, I love Taylor Jenkins Reid. I love any of her books, literally almost every single one of hers, except the one, Carrie Soto, I was not that into. But I really love her books. And right now I'm reading the Eleanor Oliphant book. I love reading. Really, I do. Anyway, so that's exciting. I'm curious if you guys read that book. Okay, let's move on to another story. Dance Moms. Did any of you guys watch Dance Moms? Oh man, Dance Moms is quite the show. Dance Moms is, of course, where all these young stars came out of. And, you know, we have so many of these like young dance girls that came out of this dance mom world. It's the JoJo Siwas, it's a bunch of those. Abby Lee Miller, I never actually watched the show. I think I was a little too old to be interested in it or something at the time when it was airing. But Abby Lee Miller is, I mean, she's a nut, let's be honest. But she was awful to the kids on that show. And if you watch it, if you rewatch Dance Moms now, which by the way, I think you can find it on, you know, Netflix, Hulu, whatever. If you rewatch it, you will be blown away at the things that she was able to say to the kids, especially in front of the moms and also in front of cameras. I don't think half of this shit would fly in 2024. She was so harsh to them. She would yell at them. She would call them names. She would be so mean. But she was interviewed just, it aired. When does it air? I don't know when it airs, but it's with Impact X Nightline, like Impact and Nightline. Abby Lee Miller opens up about the treatment of her former students. And she says on this, when she talks to Juju Chang, she says, when asked whether she would walk back comments she made on the show, Abby Lee Miller answered, absolutely. Yes, I would. But this is the craziest part. This is why she would walk back the comments. No matter how harsh I was on the kid, they weren't going to get it, the reality TV personality explained. They just didn't have the talent. So Juju Chang says, you're saying you regret it not because you hurt the kid's feelings, but because it was pointless? Abby Lee Miller denies that she wanted to hurt anyone's feelings. Rather, her frequently vitriolic criticism stemmed from a desire to get them to be better and to be the best they can be. Okay, that's absolutely crazy. So like Maddie Ziegler, I think her name is, her mom follows me on Instagram because, you know, I used to be in this world, right? This casting world. And so I'm wondering if I should get her on an interview. But there was so much trauma that these kids endured there. I don't understand. Like, I understand being tough on your kids in terms of discipline. And, you know, if they're in some sort of organized sport, like my kid's baseball coach, he's a nice guy, but he'll jump all over the kids. Like if they're effing around and they're 8, 9 years old, but like, Strava. I don't really personally think it's that bad. I think it's important that they have like a little bit of discipline and like boundaries and know exactly kind of how to be whatever. But if Oliver, my son, was playing baseball and was listening and following direction and hit the ball and it didn't hit like exactly where he wanted it to hit or he got out or whatever and then got yelled at, that's where I draw the line. And this is the stuff that she was yelling at these kids for. Like they weren't able to land a dance move. So it's just psycho, right? Yes, it's just like a gymnastics coach. I mean, these people are tough, but she really – I just think it's almost like a little bit like Millionaire Matchmaker in the sense of what you used to be able to get away with on TV where you wouldn't be able to now. If you rewatch an episode of Millionaire Matchmaker from those early 2000 episodes with Patty Stanger, the way she talks to these people is outrageous. Like, I just think things have changed so much and I don't think you can do that. There's a 2-hour reunion special of Dance Moms that's coming up and features JoJo Siwa, Brooke Hyland, all these people, Chloe Lukasiak. I'm probably saying these girls' names wrong, but it's They're going to reunite to talk about the show's most controversial headlines, their current lives, and shocking revelations. And a lot of the girls decided that they would join the reunion as long as Abby Lee Miller would not attend. I'm 100% sure that they probably are traumatized and maybe like petrified by being in her presence still. Yeah, interesting. Actually, JoJo Siwa is Abby Lee Miller's most vocal advocate. At the red carpet premiere of the reunion, she told People that their relationship is great. Now, Lance worked on an Abby Lee Miller show, and I'm trying to remember what it was because I remember he didn't have like great stories about her. I think this woman has not learned her lesson. I feel like she's a mess still, don't you? I just feel like, by the way, do we have to continue to watch JoJo Siwa in life? Like, as Andrew says, No-No Siwa. That's her new name, No-No Siwa. Just like a lot of people call Lala Kent, Blah Blah Kent. I don't know. I can't with JoJo. It's like that dance. I kind of look like a JoJo Siwa right now. Except I need like, maybe I need some sunglasses. I'm JoJo Siwa now. Hey, that's JoJo Siwa. She kills me. Like, literally, I can't. All right, let's move on to some other stories. I told you guys today was going to be random. It's spring break still. Remember that. I'm still on spring break. Woo! Cinco de Mayo this weekend. Woohoo! Party. Cinco de Drinko. All right, Vanderpump. Let's see. There's not really that much going on, except there was a Rachel Levis talked back on her podcast about her shirt and everyone saying like, oh, you were wearing Ariana's shirt. And she said, you know, I bought it at Urban Outfitters. Okay. Tom Sandoval and Jason Bader, his drummer, were on a show called New Day Cleveland. It's like Good Morning America, but for Cleveland. And they were asking Tom, do you know why Vanderpump Rules is being delayed? And Sandoval says, I think one of the things is that coming out of the scandal, it was like we picked up filming right when everything first happened. And then we kind of had a very short break and then right into filming this season that you're watching now. And what would end up happening is that production would just be down. The last episode of the season, the reunion, then our secrets revealed or whatever it is would air. And then maybe it's a couple weeks and we would be back into filming again. So they just want to give it time to breathe. Take a break. I'm really excited about it because it's like every year. I mean, the likes that he says are out of control. You think it's bad how I speak? Okay. Because it's like every year we film my birthday. We film Sheena's birthday at times or whatever. To kind of have a different time of the year, it might bring a fresh sort of feeling to the show. They asked Sandoval, how has what happened last year changed you in ways? Sandoval says, well, it's really allowed me to take a look inward at where I was going in my life, decisions I had been making, getting to a place where I could take time and take a step back. I quit drinking for over 8 months. I spent a lot of time alone journaling, got into guided meditation, just developing healthy habits to deal with stress, anxiety, depression without going to substances. The host says, and I know you haven't seen last night's episode, this was yesterday, I guess. It ended with you in a very vulnerable moment with Sheena talking about how taking full responsibility for everything and how Ariana was not at fault in this. And just on Watch What Happens Live, she hadn't seen it yet either. But I saw moments where she said that they played a little game and there were different things that she said she would choose to hang out with you versus other things. So I was like, okay. And Sandoval goes, interesting. And the host says, well, maybe in the future there could be something. And Sandoval goes, hey, you never know. Obviously, we were together for a long time for a reason. Yeah, Ariana's never going to want to hang out with Sandoval ever. Can you imagine Ariana and Sandoval actually being friends ever again? Andrew gets it right. He says, VPR, holidays from hell. That is so true. Now, the Valley, speaking of Andrew, because I talk about Andrew, Andrew's like my co-host. Andrew DM me yesterday that he listened to Jesse on the Valley. Jesse Lally was on Mention It All, which is a Betches podcast. And he was talking about the relationship with Michelle and everything. And Dylan, the host of the podcast, says, watching the show back with everything that happened with you personally, are there moments where you had wished you handled it differently? Jesse says, you know, as I step back and sort of see it play out in front of me, I was going through an incredible amount of pain. I had an incredible amount of anger. I don't regret anything, but there were times where I let that pain overwhelm my logic, and I find myself to be a fairly logical person, and I'm certainly emotional. So he looks back at it in a way like, listen, I was who I was, but yeah, it was a little too much. You know, he asked him, Dylan asked Jesse about the, about all of the, you know, Jack's hair losses dinner and why did it kind of unfold in that way? And Jesse said, I started off the day not feeling well. And then I had a coaching session with Scott. It was the first time that I said, you know, that I was having a realization that my marriage was over and I was very quiet. I didn't want to be the center of attention, but then I got triggered, et cetera. Then he talked about, asked about Kristen, and he said, look, at the end of the day, Kristen and Jax are pros. They know exactly what they're doing. They've been in this world long enough. Contrary to what Kristen might say or whatever, I have known her for a very long time. I guess Jesse used to hang out with Jax when he first started at Sir. So they've all known each other for a very long time, and Jesse knows 100% that, like, Kristen is reality TV. Like, she gets reality TV. Dylan says, do you think anyone's successfully going to ice Kristen Doty out of this group? Some people are trying. Jesse says, well, I'll tell you what, I've done my best. So let's see if we can pass it on. Dylan says, I don't think Kristen is going that easily. And Jesse says, well, I don't know. Maybe we'll stick Jason on her and he can throw some legal documents on her. I don't know. Dylan says, maybe she'll move to Colorado. And Jesse says, God willing. That's actually kind of funny. And then, you know, he talked a little bit about his relationship with Michelle and how it ended and how he's seeing someone else and they have a nice co-parenting relationship. And actually, it's kind of like nice. I don't mind Jesse that much. The skinny shoulders is a lot for me. I actually dated a guy with small shoulders, with narrow shoulders back before I met Lance. And I'm just going to be honest. It was a little bit of an ick for me, for me. Everyone has their thing. Some people like tall guys, short guys, muscular, skinny. I was not into the narrow shoulders. I want a man, like, look, I'm not blind. I have broad shoulders. I'm built like a gymnast. So I think a narrow shoulder guy, I didn't feel protected. You know, maybe that's why Michelle talks like this, because she doesn't feel protected by Jesse. Maybe. All right, let's go on over the hill to Beverly Hills. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is still going through some casting drama. It's still going some casting drama. And apparently, according to Kyle's Amazon Live, and someone posted a meme the other day that Kyle is going to come out with her relationship with Morgan Wade and Lala is going to give birth on their Amazon Lives because they are so Amazon Live all the time. Kyle says on her Amazon Live that she's still trying to figure out, they're still in talks about doing Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She hasn't officially signed on as of next season. According to Christian Grace Snow's account, he says he screen recorded her saying that she's not 100% sure. I'll have an answer soon, she says. He says that her response in this video doesn't sound promising. I absolutely think she'll come back. I don't think literally, if she doesn't come back, if Kyle turns down the next season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, what should I do? Like, what should I do at this point? If, like, maybe I'll have to do something different. I don't know. I'll have to go on a blind date with Jax. Something crazy. I personally think she'll come back. This is all in the works. There's no way at this point. In, you know, May of this month when they're supposed to already be shooting this month, there's no way she doesn't know if she's coming back or not unless she's just trying to get more money. For me, I think 100% she's coming back and she's just still playing the game, you know, for contractual reasons. Meanwhile, Mauricio, her still husband, because they haven't been going through the doors, he purchased a luxury Hollywood condo and has moved out of the house with Kyle Richards. Like, they are 100% done and done. Who here is shocked? Like, I'm not shocked. I thought absolutely they were going to break up. Once she started to talk about the divorce and everything, it was pretty obvious. Like, she's so moved on from him, right? He's moved out of his and Kyle's shared home into a luxury condo. He reportedly has a new A-list neighbor. He's in the same building with Matt Damon, who has an $8.6 million unit. And Kyle Richards reportedly plans to stay put in that huge Encino house, while Umansky will visit their primary residence often. Well, listen, Alexia still lives there as far as I know. Portia definitely still lives there. And I think Sophia still lives there. I think the only one that doesn't live there is Farrah. And knowing Farrah, with going through that horrible robbery that she just had, she's probably sleeping there too. So I imagine Kyle's not alone in that house. Plus, she has 46 dogs. Kyle's a new Tori Spelling with how many dogs she has. Don't you guys find that crazy? Now, a lot of you think if Mauricio has moved out and Kyle decides not to do Real Housewives, then they should get Lisa Vanderpump back. I don't think so. I don't think Vanderpump will ever come back to this show. She has way too much going on. You know, she was on her episode of Vanderpump Villa, which, okay, I'm going to just be honest. I'm having a hard time with Vanderpump Villa. I'm an episode behind and I tried to watch it yesterday and I got bored and turned it off. That's not a good sign. But I did watch one part where one of the girls was quitting. One of the servers was like, I'm not happy here. I want to go home. And as she's quitting to Lisa, Lisa's like, I respect you because I've walked away from situations before. Even if it was a good opportunity for me, I've walked away from situations and I've never once regretted it. And I'm convinced that she's talking about leaving BH. I don't think that she's ever coming back. I think if she comes back, it would be really a strange move. She has so much going on, Vanderpump. It feels desperado to me for her to come back. Then there was an article that Melanie Griffith, this is an In Touch article, so I don't know how much we can trust any of this shit, but that apparently Melanie Griffith is in talks to join the cast of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which to me is the most out there, outrageous, random person to put on the show. I mean, you guys, this can't happen, right? She's 66 years old. She is single. She divorced Antonio Banderas in 2015. I mean, you guys, I'm a working girl lover. I love Melanie Griffith, like old school Melanie Griffith, but it just seems so random. Now, she is friends with Kyle Richards, so it's possible, I guess, that she has an in there. Sources say that she would add spice to the Bravo podcast. She's been thinking about it for a while, and the money's too good to turn it down. Bosses have been trying to lure her for years, but she was too nervous. However, in recent months, she's gotten to know Kyle well, and Kyle's been so nice, and that helped to change her mind. According to The Insider, the show could also liven up her ho-hum days and nights. She might meet a guy in the process and add excitement to her life, which has been predictable as of late. The Insider explains, everybody else seems to be having all the fun. This would help to get her out more. I mean, it sounds like her daughter has, like, isn't her daughter Dakota Johnson? It sounds like Dakota Johnson has leaked this. Like, mom, you're pretty lame these days and you just stay home. Like, we need to get you out more. It sounds like she needs to get out more and go and join the cast of Beverly Hills. I can't. So lots of questions. Was she married? Was she married to John Mellencamp? No. Melanie Griffith was married to Don Johnson. And then she was married to Antonio Banderas. You're thinking Meg Ryan. I don't even know if Meg Ryan was married to John or just engaged. I just don't see it. It doesn't feel like it connects in any way. I don't want to see Melanie Griffith start getting into drama with these girls, because you can't be on the show unless you're highly immersed in the drama. I want to see someone younger. I want to see someone rich. Not that Melanie's not. I'm trying to think, like, who I can think of off the top of my head that would be an amazing addition. Like, like an Allie Landry or a I guess I have to, let me try to keep thinking. Like a Mira Sorvino would be good because we saw her over on Hollywood Housewives season one, and she's got a little bit of a cuckoo lifestyle. And then also she was on Dancing with the Stars. Like that would be a good addition. Mira Sorvino. Huh. I don't know. I think that they're going for, well, I heard from a source that Beverly Hills is going for some high drama this next season. They feel like it's been dead. They feel like it's been slow. They're not wrong. And they really, really need some serious, serious drama. Okay. Stacey wants Tori Spelling. Me too. Such a mess. Joe says, have you heard rumors of Bozuma St. John? She was previous Netflix CMO, and Ava LaRue, who I know, soap TV actress, joining Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Both are friends with Garcelle. It's possible. Like, who knows? Who knows where they're going to go? We'll get some info. As much as I get, you'll get too. Are you guys excited for Selling the OC? I promise you, it's not a bad watch. So have you been watching that? You guys have to watch that. In this first episode, which comes out, when does it come out? This weekend? I feel like it's starting. Season three comes like in the next couple days. And now I can't remember the exact date. But it's on Netflix. They're such easy watches, you guys. They're two seasons and they have eight episodes each. It's like the easiest thing. But in this first episode, it says Selling the OC star Alex Hall accuses Tyler, this is Brittany Snow's ex-husband, of ghosting her during their romance after Brittany Snow's divorce. And apparently what happened was in this scene, she says to him, you swooned me and you got my walls to come down. And then you effing disappeared for a month. He disagrees. I didn't disappear. I went out of town. So I don't like him immediately because of this, because I watched last season and I was very into Alex Hall saying, I don't know if we should take this further. I don't think we should do this. This is a real big conversation. We're just friends. We really care about each other. And he's like, I think we should. I think we should take it further. Oh, it's on tomorrow. Okay, good. I think we should. We should take it further. We should take it further. And sure enough, she lets him kiss her. And then there you go. He says, I didn't ghost you. Before that night happened, this trip was already planned. And then he claims that he attempted to FaceTime her a couple of times to show he was still interested, but she responded by accusing him of playing mind games. She said the push and pull, like, I'm too old to be effing confused, the mother of two says, to which Stana Land replied, I agree. When they were in the jacuzzi in this last scene, this is after such a buildup, she said, like, I'm not looking for a one and done. I'm not looking for a little hookup. I'm looking for something serious. And he said, absolutely, I get it. Let's do it. And then he ran away. So he sucks. I think he's like a typical scared of a commitment, just like OC dude, right? Like put him in a room with Jax Taylor, with Maurice, what's his name? It's not Mauricio. Is it Mauricio, the guy from Vanderpump Villa? Now I can't remember his name. That douche. Like, put Tom Schwartz, like, just put them all over into a, like, put them into a building. We have empathy training over here with Erica Jane. Okay, Erica Jane leading the charge over here. And then we have douche canoe loser guys over here. And which one would you rather go to and hang out? Anyway, you guys, what a day. What a day. Obviously, today is Thursday. Patreon coming out later. Summer House tonight. I can't believe we're already at Summer House night. And that's that. I will talk to you guys later. Have an amazing rest of your Thursday. Thanks for sticking with me this week through the wildness. And talk tomorrow. Bye, y'all.